And we'll listen, I promise. You come. God bless you. Amen. And I think you've been this, but I want you to introduce your family first.
Yes, sir.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you, sir. So, praise the Lord. It is a blessing to be here, and I have my wife, Jessie, with me, and my daughter, Amy, and the Lord is good. I just want to the Lord always provides what you need in His time, and you can wait on the Lord's time, and you can trust the Lord. And so, I want to praise the Lord just for His goodness. I want to thank Bethel Baptist Church just for your prayers, your support for us, the prayer cards that we get every year, initialed every week. Someone's praying for us. It's an encouragement. It's a blessing, and it helps us know, wait a second, God is working, God is listening. It's not just us alone, but there's churches together who believe like we believe, who are seeing the Lord work and who are helping, and we can't wait till we can write you and tell you, hey, we don't need your support anymore. We are self-supporting. We're not there yet, but when we get there, that is the prayer, that is the goal. We're looking forward to that and see the Lord establish a church on Long Island, New York, and keep it going and see more churches started. That's what God wants to see. We just have to make sure we follow Him in His timing with that for His glory and for His honor. And it is a privilege to be here this morning. Matthew chapter 6 this morning. We'll be in the Sermon on the Mount. It is a missions month. It is a missions time. And just looking through and praying about what the Lord would have me to preach, I believe the Lord led me to, back to these verses, and just verses that we are familiar with but want to challenge us with that. And thank you for just your faithful support for that. And look in that. But verses number 19 through 21 of Matthew chapter 6, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to go back and get some of the context of that and just see how this ties in with the Sermon on the Mount and how God wants to speak to us and what He expects of those who are His children, of those who are His disciples. But Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19, we'll read down through verse number 21. And the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to preach this title, A Heart GPS. Your investment reveals the location of your heart. That's what Jesus said. Your investments, your treasures, will always reveal where your heart is. So let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help, and we'll get into the message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and care for us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for how You want to work. And pray, Lord, that You would help us to follow You as You would choose. Bless Your word this morning. I pray that You would speak and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor asked us to come down and be part of your missions month. And I remember as a student in Heartland Baptist Bible College, it being said by Pastor Gaddis, he was quoting someone else, but he said, "A missions conference is a church's business meeting to determine the fate of the heathen." It's a church business meeting to determine the fate of the heathen. What are we talking about? Are we going to continue the work of the Lord? Because there are those who don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ, who don't know where their soul is going to be in eternity. And missions, giving to missions, praying for missions, participating in the endeavors of Bethel Baptist Church to reach the area that God has placed you is part of the work. It is the work that God has called us to do. It is vital. And it is something we need to be growing in. It is something we need to be moving forward in. We should never be just content where we are, but we should be striving to move forward. But to know how to move forward, you got to know where you are. The best way to get lost, I mean, if you want to get really, really lost, follow a good set of directions from the wrong starting point. Follow a good set of directions from the wrong starting point, and you are going to get really lost, and maybe in an accident, okay? Well, if we need to know how to move forward, if God wants us to move forward, then we need to know where we are. We need to know where our heart is to know how God wants us to move forward. We have a lot of technology in our day-to-day. If you have an iPhone, there's the app on your phone, Find Your iPhone. So anyways, we won't go into all of that, but GPS locates your car. Your phone tells you where you parked your car if you hooked up to the Bluetooth. They now even have these fobs or whatever that you can put on your key ring, you can put on your backpack, and they put GPS. That's what they have in the technology today. They have GPS fobs that you can hang on your backpack, and you can know where your backpack is. You can know where all that is. Well, God wants us to know where our hearts are, because if we're going to follow God, we need to know where our heart is. The Bible tells us that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Thank you for coming to Bethel Baptist Church. But that's what the Bible says. And so if we need to guard our heart, the Bible says, and we need to have God tell us where our heart is. And God, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples to invest their treasure in heavenly things so that their heart can be focused on spiritual things. He's telling them they need to invest their lives and who they are in the things of heaven and put their treasure there so that their hearts can be focused on spiritual things. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is telling his disciples, he called his disciples unto him. Jesus called his disciples and they sat down at the feet of Jesus to learn how to be true disciples, to learn how disciples of Jesus Christ need to walk, even walk today. That the disciples of Jesus Christ are those who have already decided to follow Jesus Christ. With the exception of Judas Iscariot, every disciple of Jesus Christ had already claimed Jesus Christ as his Messiah. And Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount. It was directed to his disciples. Now, there were the multitudes who were there, who were listening, but the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching, is directed to the disciples of Jesus Christ. He's not teaching how to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's teaching disciples how to live like disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not saying in Matthew chapter 6, fast, give, pray for the eyes of God alone so that you can be saved. He's saying, because you are saved, this is how a disciple needs to live. Because you are saved, because you want to be my disciple, you need to live like Jesus Christ. This is not just for pastors or a special group of dedicated Christians. If you claim to be a child of God, then Jesus is laying out for you in the Sermon on the Mount the path of discipleship. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, this is what it's going to look like. It's going to start with being poor in spirit. Just like you cannot save yourself, if we go all the way back to the Beatitudes, just like you cannot save yourself, you can't live for God in your own strength. If you're going to follow God, you have to realize it's not going to be through my great effort. It's not going to be through my great intellect or my great talents. It's going to realize it's not of me and it's all of God. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, it starts with being poor in spirit. It starts with mourning and realizing that we are not as great as we think we are, but we are actually still fail a lot. And we are fallen human beings. And yet the grace of God is there that he wants to change us. He wants to transform us. He wants to change our heart. He wants to change our attitude so that we can hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we can rejoice in even suffering for Jesus Christ. That is what the path of the disciple looks like. Because if you are a disciple, verses 12 through 16 of chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus did not command his disciples, be salt, and you need to be good salt and you need to be good light. He said, you are the salt. You are the light. Christians are God's method of sharing the gospel with Jesus Christ. The influence on this world happens through the lives of those who are disciples of Jesus Christ. And you can have a good influence or you can have a bad influence. You are the salt. It's whether or not you've lost your savor. You are the light of the world. It's whether or not you are hiding your light. Because this world is going to see, this world knows about God through you. You claim to be a Christian. Are you living like it? Are you showing the light? That's what God designed. And because we are the salt and we are the light, in the rest of Matthew chapter 5, that's why God set the standard for his disciples. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's the stand that Jesus is telling, if you're going to be my disciple, this is what I expect of you. Be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Because God is not looking just for an outward conformance. He's not looking just for a list of do's and don'ts. He is all through the Sermon on the Mount, he has been focusing on the hearts of his disciples. He's saying, if you're going to follow me, it has to be a complete surrender to me. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, up to this point, if we can go back, Jesus has been dealing with fasting. Jesus has been dealing with giving. Jesus has been dealing with prayer and saying, it's not to be for the glory of yourself. If it is, that's your reward. That's it. But my disciples are to do it between them and their Father. Those who are disciples of Jesus Christ are to live for God in a way that is just between them and God so that God can actually work. It's for the glory of God and not for themselves. It has to be the heart. We need this context because all of this is connected. Jesus has been dealing with a proper heart response to ourselves, the Beatitudes, a proper heart response to the law and sin, a proper heart response to worship. That's really the Matthew chapter 6 up to where we are. Jesus has been dealing with a proper disciple, God-oriented worship with your giving, with your prayer, with your fasting. It needs to be for the glory of God. And now in the next section of chapter 6 where we're picking up, Jesus is dealing with a proper disciple heart attitude in response to things. That's really what God begins to deal with, where your treasure is. And then he begins to talk in the rest of the chapter. You don't need to worry about the things of this earth because if you are my disciple, your Father in heaven knows what you need. So he begins dealing with a proper disciple response to physical things, to the things of this earth. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Every person who has ever lived, including each one in this room, has treasure. Has treasures that they value above all else. Everyone has treasure. What is treasure? That is that which is of exceptional value. Something you keep safe. Okay? Something you value. And each person treasures something different. Every person's treasure is not the same. They have different things, but they protect it with great vigor. Children, they have their treasure chests that they can't do without. It might be Legos. It might be video games. It might be their bike. But they have their treasures. And by the way, adults, we have our treasures too. Boats, cars, houses, money. Maybe you have none of those things. It might be antiques. It might be guns. It might be shoes. It might be clothes. It might be your reputation. It might be where you live. It might be your family. But each of us have something we value. It's something we treasure above other things. There's a great difference between your work truck getting scratched and the car you're restoring getting scratched. There's a big difference. Why? Because one is your treasure and one is not. Okay? There is something that you value more than other things. But treasure is also, not only is it something that you value more, treasure is what is simply valuable. Okay? Money is treasure. Time is treasure. Jesus is definitely dealing with physical aspects of money and possessions here. He's dealing with that, where your treasure is. What is valuable? The energy. Our minds, our body, there are valuable things. A name, a good name is to be chosen, right? The Proverbs tells us that a good name, a reputation with that, it is valuable. And each one of these things are gifts from God. The time that you have, the health that you have, the finances that you have are gifts from God. Amen. And each one of us are interested, God put it in our heart, to be interested in collecting things. To be interested in making sure we have what we need. Every person lays up treasure in some way. Every person collects something that they consider valuable. Just go to somebody's house, and it is going to be different. Maybe for what's crazy is when you see adults collecting little kids' things, adults with their comic book collections, and some of these things. I mean, the collectibles are just valuable. The money that is spent in that, but it's their treasure. Some people, it's collecting things. Some people, it's reaching a certain level of retirement or getting that certain house. That's what they're interested. That's their goal. That's their aspiration. That's where they are taking their resources, taking their treasures, and they're laying it up somewhere. Everyone takes resources, their treasure, and you lay it up somewhere. Whether it's scriptural, whether it's not, you are doing that. Some, it might be taking time off for vacation. Hey, you have time. I need to invest this treasure in my family. I'm going to do that. Hey, that's a good thing. Spending time with your family. Or some people, it's hitting a certain fitness goal. Or keep taking care of the body that God has given them. Hey, that's a good thing. But you're investing treasure in that. You're investing time. You're investing resources. You're investing finances. Treasure is something that's valuable. And treasure is something that we use for purposes, that we use for something. Now, God has said a lot about treasure in His Word. And by the way, God is not against people having nice things. God is not against people enjoying a level of prosperity. There were many rich men in the Bible who were blessed with riches by God. Just having riches is not an ungodly thing. Consider Job. He was the richest man in all the East, and God blessed him with that. And as he continued to serve God, God doubled his blessings. In fact, we could look at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Boaz, David, Solomon, Barnabas, even in the New Testament. He was a man of possessions. He sold what he had and gave that to the church, but he had land. He had possessions. God, the Bible does not teach that poverty is more spiritual than riches. Okay, that's not in the Bible, the idea that I need to physically afflict myself to make myself more pleasing to God is just another work. It's just another deed of the law. It is not scriptural. God did not command that. Okay? But we should do, and we should take care of what God has given us. We should be wise with our finances. We should prepare for the future. Godly principles are taught about that. You can enjoy food. That's why God gave you taste buds. You can enjoy nice clothes. You can enjoy a new phone. It's okay. But physical and earthly riches do present a great danger that has destroyed the usefulness of many disciples of Jesus Christ. The things of this world handled improperly can destroy many people. Having more riches and more stuff is not the answers to happiness and peace. Solomon, who, by the way, was one of the richest men who ever lived. I mean, he collected gold. He had more gold coming in than we could ever imagine. He had enough to pay off the U.S. debt, okay? National debt. Like, he was that type of man. But here's what he said at the end of his life. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is thereof to the owners thereof, save the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Solomon's saying there, peace and happiness doesn't come through having more. Peace and happiness in your heart and contentment doesn't come with a level in the bank account, doesn't come with having more, because as you increase, more expenses increase, right? You're never going to reach there. Riches have wings that fly away. The desire for riches, the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. Riches are not the problem, but riches reveal where your heart is. Your treasure, where you're laying up treasure, reveals where your heart is. And in this Sermon on the Mount, in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is dealing with the hearts of his disciples in regard to treasure and possessions in this world. Jesus is not against us enjoying and having things in this life and enjoying good food and a nice house and taking care of things, but Jesus did command his disciples. This is a command, not a suggestion, it's a command. If you're going to follow me, you need to have this heart attitude. Lay not up treasures, verse number 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That our investments are where we place the treasure that God has given us is not our heart goal, is not to be storing up earthly treasures. Don't heap up, lay up, keep in store treasures on this earth, because there are treasures that can be only enjoyed in this life and on earth. The treasures of this world can only be enjoyed in this world. Money is nice, money is needful, but you can't, the old thing is you can't take it with you. Jesus is not condemning having money, but what he is commanding his disciples is to avoid the worldly idea of hoarding, of grabbing all you can and canning all you can get and taking everything in. The American dream destroys many Christians because we're to have a biblical desire, not just an earthly desire. But while earthly treasures are here and we need them and we use them, earthly treasures have no eternal value. We could go to the story in Luke chapter 12, the parable of the rich man who said, wow, I've gotten so much more. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build up much more. And Jesus called him a fool because all of his great wealth and everything that he had collected did him no good when he stood before God. Everything he had was invested here on this earth. What can bring pleasure and bring protection to some extent here on this earth in heaven is not going to matter. In the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is also referring to the Pharisees. Remember, he was telling his disciples, don't pray like the Pharisees, don't give like the Pharisees. They were storing up treasure here on this earth, the glory of men. Okay, that's also, they were using their investments. They were looking for glory here on this earth. That's also treasure here on this earth. If we're serving God for our own glory, we're laying up treasure here on this earth and it has no place in heaven. If we're doing and serving God for the what it brings us here on this earth, that's not heavenly treasure. Man's glory is not heavenly treasure. Man's praise is not heavenly treasure. And not only can you not take earthly treasures with you, earthly treasures are so easily destroyed, are so easily taken away. In Jesus' day, the valuables, the treasure, often was in the form of clothes, grain, supplies, gold and silver. Many people in Jesus' day, they only had their one item of clothing. They had their outer garment. They just had the clothes that they wore. If they had some special treasured garments, if they didn't preserve them right, the moths could get in and destroy them completely. It could be destroyed. Rust and a rot that could destroy the precious grain. If you store grain and you don't store that right, you don't seal out the moisture, it can rot, it can be destroyed. Floods can come and wipe it out. Houses in those days were often built with earthen foundations, and thieves would literally dig through the foundation and steal what people had. Now today we deal with thieves like Bernie Madoff, stock market crashes, COVID-19 shutdown. I mean, we deal with things that just can take out and destroy our earthly riches. My dad growing up, my dad's uncle, actually, as a young boy, he was growing up in the 40s and 50s, and he collected baseball cards. He had a Mickey Mantle rookie card. Okay? That's today valued between $10,000 and $50,000. A rare one just sold for $2.88 million. A Mickey Mantle rookie card. He had the entire collection of when the Baltimore Orioles won the World Series. He had everyone's card. He had an extensive collection. But the bats got in the attic. and they chose to nest in his baseball card collection. How many of you, your heart just broke? What this world considers valuable is easily destroyed and is of no lasting value. That's why Jesus commanded his disciples, lay up heavenly treasures. Put your treasures. Be diligent to lay up. Prepare for the future. Prepare to live for eternity. Jesus is not condemning preparing for retirement here on this earth, but he is warning his disciples of their greater need to prepare for eternity, where riches will last. He's giving sound investment advice for disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, those who are not disciples of Jesus Christ, this sounds crazy. But those who are disciples of Jesus Christ, who want to follow God, who know that real life starts in eternity where we're going to be forever with God, Jesus is giving sound investment advice because he's saying you have this time to prepare for real life with God. The treasures that God wants us to lay up is not something you can put in a bank account. It's not something you have in a glass cabinet that you can show people in your house. It's not wealth. It's not a house, but it's the rewards that the Father gives to his children for serving him with the proper heart. Heavenly treasures would look like a soul you're able to lead to Christ. Hey, that you can take to heaven with you. Someone who gets saved, that you can take to heaven with you. Or supporting missionaries and seeing souls get saved through that. That is heavenly treasure. It's a life dedicated to the things of God. It is serving God. Treasures in heaven come as we serve for the eyes of God alone, and we stop worrying about what other people think, and we stop doing things that are going to receive praise to ourselves. That's the context of the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, he's saying, pray in secret, give in secret, fast in secret, not for the praise of men. When we serve God just for the glory of God and we give him that, then God says, you're laying up treasures that cannot be corrupted. Paul would say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not unto me only, but all them also that love his appearing. Peter would write, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The athletes at that time would get a green leaf crown that would fade away very quickly. Paul's saying, no, there's a crown of glory that fadeth not away for those who simply serve God. They'll never lose their value. There'll never be a stock market crash in heaven. Amen. They'll never be a COVID shutdown in heaven. The acceptance with God is one of the greatest treasures that you can get in heaven. Amen. Matthew Henry said, his well done shall stand forever. If we have thus laid up our treasure with him and with him our hearts will be, where can they be better? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can I tell you, that is a treasure that is laid up in heaven. Heavenly treasures, while despised by this world, hold the greatest value to a disciple. Can I tell you, this world doesn't care about a well done from God. Those who don't know God are making decisions based on their thinking and based on where their heart is. They don't care about a well done from God. They don't care about heaven because that's not what they're living for. But as disciples, that is what we are to be living for, is that well done in heaven. We can't count the rewards in heaven. We don't have an app that we can check. How's my rewards in heaven doing? And by the way, it's supposed to be that way. Ephesians tells us that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, that's talking about eternity, what is going to be going on in heaven is God is going to be showing us the exceeding riches of his grace. Some of that, I believe, I'm not dogmatic on this, but some of that I believe is God in eternity is going to show us some of the things that we can't see here on this earth. He's going to paint out his grace that is working as we stay faithful to Him. We pass out those tracts and we never know where they go. I believe in heaven, God showing the riches of His grace is Him opening up the windows of time and showing us this happened because this happened because this happened because this happened. And people got saved down the road because you handed a tract here and because of that. And we didn't get to see it. Stephen never got to see the effect that his death had on the heart of Saul of Tarsus. But it did have an effect, a profound effect that eventually led to his salvation. He didn't get to see it in this life, but eternity, that's going to take all of eternity to see how God was working in the riches of His grace and how God worked. There's rewards in heaven for those who simply serve God. So why is Jesus laboring on the point of the type of treasure we are seeking? What is the biggest problem here? Well, what has Jesus been majoring on all through the Sermon on the Mount? He's been majoring on the heart of His disciples. Not just outward conformance, He's been majoring on the heart. And the reason that God makes a big deal about where your treasure is because your treasure always reveals the location of your heart. If you lay up your treasure for yourself on this earth, that is where your heart is going to be. You can tell somebody who's wrapped up in a car, or wrapped up in their retirement, wrapped up there in their house. How? Just mess with it and see what happens. Right? You mess with somebody's treasure, you're going to find out that it's their treasure and you better leave it alone. But sadly, many disciples of Jesus Christ have more treasure on this earth than they do in heaven. Was able to use some of Brother Sam's notes and just getting some help with that. He said this: many believers could eliminate 3/4 or more of their present schedule of activities and it wouldn't cost them a thing at the judgment seat of Christ. That's something we need to say, wait a second. How much of my treasure, how much of my resources, how much of my what God has given me is being invested in heaven or is being invested on this earth? People would say, I go to church more, I give more, I'd witness more, but fill in the blank. Doesn't have to be some horrible, sinful thing to be an earthly treasure that is taking our heart away from the things of God. But when we choose to lay our treasures up in heaven, that's where our heart's going to be. That's why Jesus is focusing on it. Is because where we put our time, where we put our effort, where we put our finances, when we put it into serving the Lord, when we put it into seeing people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we put it into helping at church, when we put it to serving others, when we put it to witnessing, when we take what God has given us and we focus it on the things of God, that is where your heart's going to be. It is. That's why we need to invest our treasure in heavenly things so our heart can be focused on spiritual things. That is what Jesus is commanding His disciples. There are treasures on earth that God has given us and we can enjoy them. But when our heart begins to lay up treasures here on this earth and focus on the hobbies, focus on the wonderful things, there's a danger that it can keep our hearts from focusing on the things of God. And our heart can begin to wander. And our heart can begin to go different places. Just a couple points and we're done. God has given you resources to invest. He has, that are extremely valuable. In fact, they are treasures. God has given you that. Every good thing that we have comes down from the Father above, right? Every good gift comes from God. You have treasure that God has given you. And you only have so much resources. We are each given 24 hours in a day. It doesn't matter if you're Bill Gates. Doesn't matter if you're a homeless man. You have 24 hours. You have time that has been given to you. You have resources that have been given to you. You have a family that has been given to you. And you have resources that you can use either for physical things or spiritual things. The value of eternal treasures cannot be measured in this life. But you'll be so glad when you stand before God. But the reason why Jesus is commanding his disciples, listen, you need to take the treasures that he has given you and you need to lay it up in spiritual things. You need to put it into serving God. The reason that Jesus is commanding that is because where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. If you want to follow Jesus Christ with all of your heart, then make sure you take what God has given you and you put it into the things of God. Because if you say, I want to follow God, but we take what God has given us and use it on ourselves, your heart is never going to be solely towards God. Your heart is never going to be where God wants it to be. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When you give or participate in the missions program, can I tell you your heart's going to be there? Right. To some extent. You're going to listen to the prayer letters just a little more. When you take time and you pray for the missionaries, there was people I was talking with, yeah, we were praying for you, and we were looking up just to see what was going on. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that. Can I tell you, why would someone even think about looking up what's going on in Riverhead, New York, and what's going on? Because they're investing treasure there. And they're spending, and so there's intent there. There's heart that is there. When you participate in this church, you're going to care what's going on. When you're invested in the services, when you're invested, you're going to care that things are going forward right, and you're going to be praying for your pastor, and you're going to be trying to see things go forward. Why? Because you're invested, and therefore your heart is there. How many would want to say, I want my heart to be focused on God? Not just in the outward, but I want to be focused on the things of God. Jesus said, give me your treasure. You want to know where your heart is? Ding, 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 ding. The GPS just went off. Where's your treasure? It's there. Because Jesus said it so. Your treasure is where your heart is. Now, this is not license for a pastor to say, sign over your entire paycheck to the church and live in poverty. That's not what Jesus is saying. But Jesus is saying this. The resources, the valuable treasure that I've given you, you're storing it up somewhere. You're putting time somewhere. You're investing somewhere. You are. Every person is. Some, it might be in video games. Some it might be in sports scores, but we spend time there, right? That's hobbies that we have. Some it might be in golf. There's nothing wrong with any of those things necessarily, but where are you investing? Where are you serving God? Where are you taking what God has given you? Where is it stacking up? Because that's where your heart's going to be. And if we want to move forward for God, our heart needs to be in the right place. Otherwise, we can try to follow God all we want, but we're going to keep getting lost and wandering around in circles because we're trying to follow directions from the wrong starting point. God has given us instructions of how to live like a disciple of Jesus Christ, how to serve God, but it has to be from our heart. And if we're going to follow God, our heart needs to be in the right place. And God can receive glory, and there's treasures in heaven that will last for all of eternity, that God will receive glory from when we simply follow and serve him. Can I tell you this? We need to invest our treasure, whatever that happens to be, in heavenly things, in the church, in seeing people get saved, in missions, in loving your neighbor, in just doing what God has called us to do. Why? Why is that so important? Because it's going to show you where your heart is. It's going to place your heart there. If you want your heart to get closer to God, start investing more in things of God. And because your heart is automatically going to go there. And if we're going to follow God, our heart has to be close to God. This will lead us astray if it's not tied to God. If we want to follow God, we got to make sure our heart's there. Invest in heavenly things so your heart can be focused on spiritual things. Pastor.